Hey there, fabulous listeners. Are you ready to experience a night of jaw-dropping glamour, fierce performances, and unforgettable moments? Well, mark your calendars because we have the perfect event for you. Presenting Drag Show at Triple Nickel Pub every month on the third Thursday, the Triple Nickel Pub transforms into the hottest spot in town for an incredible drag extravaganza. Prepare to be dazzled. This is not your ordinary drag show, my friends. We have something special in store for you. But first, let me tell you about the amazing perks you can enjoy. If you're one of the first 15 fabulous fans to grab a pre-sale ticket, guess what? Your admission is free. That's right, free. So don't wait, get your tickets now and secure your spot in the front row of this astounding showcase. But wait, there's more. For the next 50 lucky individuals, pre-sale tickets are available for just $6. That's a steal for an unforgettable night of mind-blowing performances. Now, let's talk talent. Drag Show at Triple Nickel Pub boasts a monthly cast that is bursting with diversity and creativity. Each month, you'll be treated to a brand new lineup of incredibly talented performers who will leave you breathless. Your hosts for the evening are none other than the fabulous Coco Jim Holiday and the sensational Autumn Rains. They will guide you through an evening filled with laughter, surprises, and pure entertainment. Triple Nickel Pub, the home of a fabulous drag show, is not just an ordinary bar. It's a neighborhood gem that serves up a fantastic selection of beers and delicious liquors. And guess what? The bartenders are as friendly as they come, ensuring you have an amazing night from start to finish. And who's in charge of keeping the energy high all night long? It's none other than the incredible DJ Queer Cub. They'll be spinning the hottest beats, creating an electric atmosphere that will have you dancing and cheering all night. But that's not all, my friends. Throughout the year, we have a special treat in store for you. We're bringing headliners from RuPaul's Drag Race. Yes, you heard that right. Prepare to be starstruck as these iconic performers grace our stage and leave you begging for more. So gather your friends, bring your energy, and get ready to have the time of your life at Drag Show at Triple Nickel Pub. Join us at 3645 Southeast Belmont Street, Portland. Remember, tickets are selling fast, so visit www.thecdsdrag.com/nickel to secure your spot today. Remember, it's www.thecdsdrag.com/nickel. Don't miss out on this unforgettable night of laughter, love, and fierce performances. Get ready to experience the magic of Drag Show Triple Nickel Pub. We can't wait to see you there. Get your tickets now and get ready to be blown away. Welcome to another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. My name is Coco Jim Holiday. Today, as I'm getting ready for a show, I am wearing a pink bodysuit because I'm going to be living my Barbie world fantasy all day long because I'm going to be doing a Barbie mix. I know it sounds like I'm jumping on this train like kind of aggressively, but honestly, music that's like related to pink and Barbie is just kind of everything right now, and I'm like about that journey. So on today's episode, I wanted to talk about gatekeeping a little bit more. So, at the time of filming this, it was the, Gay Portland, the ISRC's Gay Portland, I think it's a pageant, I'm not quite sure. Regardless of that, it reminded me that when it comes to systems in our community, and this isn't like a let's bash any certain group or organization kind of thing. What I'm talking about is when you are participating in community, there will always be opportunities for us to go out for something and we can be stopped at the door. And I think about that a lot with different organizations when it comes to drag, that, you know, as we think about wanting to raise money for our community or wanting to better ourselves by competition or eventually have a national title, we have to be able to get in the front door somewhere. And I know a lot of people talk about creating their own front door when they feel like they're being blocked access. But I guess what I want to say with this is it would be really great if we had the ability to check our own biases and be able to let people play in the sandbox. As we grow as artists and as our community continues to change and new styles of drag emerge, it seems weird that we gatekeep things that we think we know. Now, I'm not saying that I am a like a book of knowledge on what different types of drag are out there. But what I always like to do is just let people live their best life when it comes to their drag. And if their presentation is amazing, and I know presentation sounds like it's subjective, but if their presentation is something that is bringing them joy and it seems like they put a lot of work into it, then I think it should also be celebrated. Now, with competition, of course, there's rules, and that's what's great, because you can't just let people do whatever. But with competition, I think that trying to fit into those rules and do the best of those rules is kind of exciting. I kind of miss doing competitions. It's kind of one of those things that I wanted to talk about, too, as I am thinking about potentially bringing a prelim here for a comedy pageant. I haven't decided if I'm going to do that yet. It's a lot of work to be a promoter for a pageant, because you got to get people in the door, you have to have headliners, rules, da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, also, you need to make sure that people from your prelim, you know, have the resources they need to potentially win national competitions. So that's something that's on my docket, that I have big things I want to do. And it's so weird. Every time I see a pageant or something like that pop up in the community, I'm always like, I just get the itch again to, like, compete. But I want to compete. What I'm looking for competition is, and I loved throwing what back in the day was called the Pucker Pageant, which was a bar title, and we judged it like a real pageant and was a lot of fun. But I would also like to do something of that. I think I might want to be going out for a national title soon. I haven't decided yet, and I know that I'll probably lose, but I think that that's really humbling to lose in pageantry. It's just, long as I have the opportunity to make it through the front door. So for any gatekeepers that have happened to listen or follow in or thinking you're not a gatekeeper, check our practices, figure out what we're doing and what we're not doing to make the community feel like a safer, warmer place to have everybody play in the sandbox. And I even know that some people might even consider calling me a gatekeeper. And there's probably validity to that statement, as much as I try not to have any bias in my bookings. But at the same time, I recognize that, you know, I don't know everybody and I don't know what's being said about me. So if anybody's ever looking for an opportunity to twirl for me, you know, hit me up. Let's talk about it. And with that, how are you doing, listeners? Let me know in the comments. Hey there, fabulous listeners. Are you ready to unleash your inner diva and have the time of your life? Well, have we got a treat for you. Get those vocal cords warmed up, because it's time to shine at the most dazzling drag queen karaoke event in town. Picture this. Every fourth Sunday of the month, the enchanting Gigantic Brewing transforms into a mesmerizing haven of glitz, glamour, and unforgettable performances. And who better to guide you through this unforgettable experience than the fabulous me, Coco Gem Holiday, and Autumn Rains. These memorizing queens will have you clapping, cheering, and singing all night long. Now, let's talk about the heart and soul of the amazing event, our incredible KJ DJ Queer Club. With their expert skills, they'll keep the beats pumping and the energy soaring as they take you to the stage and bring down the house with the music. So whatever you're doing and whatever you're about, even if you're a seasoned performer or a first-time karaoke superstar, DJ Queer Club will have you feeling like a star. Now, let's get down to the nitty-gritty details. Drag Queen Karaoke at Gigantic Brewing is located at 5524 Southeast 26th Avenue. Remember, folks, this fabulous extravaganza is strictly for our 21 and over friends. But trust me, it's worth the wait. And let's not forget about the real star of the show, the beer selection at Gigantic Brewing, with an amazing assortment of brews that will leave your taste buds tingling. You'll find the perfect libation to complement your dazzling performances. Now, here's the best part. Anyone and everyone is welcome to take the stage, so gather your friends, your family, or even your trusty shower loofah and prepare to unleash your inner superstar. But remember, it's first come, first served, so be sure to arrive early to secure your seat. And if you're worried about finding the perfect song, fear not. We have over 250,000 songs in our incredible songbook. We guarantee that you'll find the perfect anthem to let your inner diva shine bright. So, mark your calendars, set your alarms, and get ready to experience a night of glitz, glam, and unforgettable performances. Join us every fourth Sunday of the month at Gigantic Brewing for the most fabulous drag queen karaoke.
It's a podcast. Check it out. Tune into what they tell you podcast. Check it
out. And we are back, listeners. Woo, yes, I'm super excited because I get to introduce you all, and they've been on the podcast before. I have Kimber K. Shade with me. So let's start off with the first question is, how did you get your drag name, and how long have you been doing drag?
I've been doing drag for 1 year, since I'm 16 years old. And I got my drag name from the show Nip Tuck. I feel like we've talked about this before on your podcast, Coco.
We have, but I have to let the kids know, like, you know, about who you are, just for people who haven't listened to that old episode.
This is a G-rated show. Okay, for the kids. I was a drag queen, and I was searching for a name, and I watched this show, Nip Tuck, and I found my purpose.
I love that. That's great. You are also the creator of Demand Drag, and I really want to give this shout out, but also not really a shout out, but an explanation for the kids and the listeners who, you know, don't really know, or because we have some patrons who are, they're drag aficionados, but they won't know about Demand Drag from like our perspective. So talk about what is Demand Drag? Why did you create it? And what is it for?
Okay. Thank you, first of all. And before I get into it, I want to say thank you to you, Coco, because the reason why I created my platform was to lift up and make creators like yourself more visible. What I noticed is that at the start of the pandemic, as all of these digital creators were starting to emerge, there wasn't really a hub or a platform that was kind of bringing us all together and making us a community. So Demand Drag is the answer to that, right? Like, I started on Facebook, I created a Facebook group and put all of the performers and entertainers that I knew in it, and asked the performers to also add people into the group. And from that, it's grown into this community of people that we help each other get jobs, the producers, you know, grow their casts, just many different things.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really great high level thing, because I love Demand Drag. I have utilized the platform myself to help me get bookings, help me to get exposure to other new artists, to help me communicate. Kimber always says this line that I really appreciate, to where it's like out of the public eye. If like there's kind of like, you know, kind of like a hot button topic that we want to talk about, like pay or venues or cancellation and things like that. And I really have admired the platform for those things, so we can have those dialogues. So one of the things that I did want to ask you in regards to this episode is, I want to know, so you've been a person who's been in the scene for a long time. How have you seen it changed? And what would, if you could fix one thing in the scene right now, or, you know, resolve one thing in the scene right now, what would it be?
Oh, wow. That's so much question there. So what was the first part of it again?
How have you seen the scene change?
Okay, so definitely with the introduction of social media, drag has become something like a whole new beast and monster. Like, when I first started doing drag, it was more, I hate using this term, but submersive. Like, it was just more underground and less people had access to it. So the way that you learn drag was just very different. And now, you know, you can flip on your phone and figure out, navigate your way through how to become a drag queen and do a drag number and take off really easily. I admire that about new age drag, as it's very fearless in that way because it's so accessible. I'm just seeing so many new innovative things from people who are very new to the game, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And then what was the second part of the question?
What the second part is, how, if you could change anything about the scene right now, especially with the exposure that you have to the scene, what would you change right now to, like, for the better, like, or resolve a conflict or something that would do to make the scene better? If you could have like $1 million and you could change the world, what would you do to make the scene better?
Ooh, I love this. Okay. So to elevate, to add to, because I really feel like, the drag community is not an ATM. I think a lot of people think of it that way, where they just like take from it, but what I would do to kind of add to the drag community and the drag scene in Portland would be make promotion and marketing more accessible and easier for the queens, so that they understood how to make, you know, their platforms more engaging for their audience. I would make drag more fun for general people, so that, you know, we had more of it. Right now I see a lot of queens, but there's not a lot of people sitting in the audiences. So, you know, I teach queens. Yeah. If I could change one thing, it would be to teach queens how to really engage their audiences beyond just sharing a poster.
Yeah, I definitely feel that to my core. I've noticed, especially at the time of filming this, over the last month, there have been a lot of shows that I went to that were not super well attended. I think that audiences are getting inundated with a lot of drag promotion, but there are, you know, there's 50 ways to get somebody to commit to coming to your show. And I feel like people need to start looking at those avenues. Like Kimber said, like sharing a poster is one way, obviously, but there is a lot of different other ways to do this. Do you ever feel like, you and I have talked about this privately, do you ever feel like if people see online drama about drag, it makes them less likely to attend a show?
Oh, 100%. Even though, you know, I think that online drama and drag, there's a place for that, right? Like, it's entertaining at the end of the day. Like, let's be real. But I don't think that that's actually putting cheeks in our seats. I think that it's actually kind of distancing people away from the art, in a sense. You know, a lot of people, the first thing that they say who are outside of the drag scene is that drag is drama. Like, or maybe let me ask you, what is the first thing that you hear from people when you talk about, you know, maybe the drag scene?
I had a really long conversation with Angie Tifa while they were in town. And because I love to ask this question to traveling artists, like, what is the Portland drag scene like to in your city? What did they say? What is Portland drag like? And the example that they brought up, and I'm not going to say names because I actually did name someone. There's a person in New York who talked about Portland, and the things that they brought up were all drama related. To answer your question, like when people ask me what a drag scene is like, I tend to say, I was like, it's really diverse, but there is a lot. I was like, I do feel like we don't necessarily build each other up. And there is there's a lot of mess that happens, you know, and whatever, while we're trying to just do our art. And most of us are struggling artists. So it does suck that there is mess because we just all want the same thing, which is, butts and seats to showcase our art, make a little bit of coin if we can, and like, you know, entertain and perform.
100%. And, you know, that's not to put down. I do think that there's a lot of really great artists out there that are putting out great content and really able to sell their shows out or, you know, sustain their art and what they're doing. But just what I've noticed over the last 3 years is that there's kind of been a decline. Even in when we had more time on our hands during the pandemic, there was just so much more rich content and culture that was coming out of drag. And I don't know, I just want to get back to that a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, I was doing an online show called Introvert at the time, and it was a lot of fun. And I will say this about that show is that, and what Kimber's kind of getting at too, is that there's a point that I'm going to make, and I'm going to see how Kimber feels about this. So I made a comment in Demand Drag. Somebody had asked, a newer-ish entertainer, was like, how do I get out there more? Like, how do I get my name out there? Like, how do I get more bookings? I feel like I'm always asking. And one of the points I made, I gave four bullet points. And one of the points I made is I said, be more visible online, regardless if it's positive or negative or controversial or celebrated. You need to have your name in front of people's faces, because that will get you. That, like, if people don't forget who you are, that will help you with your bookings. How do you feel about that?
100%. The good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, it's still great marketing. But what I will say is that and I'm not trying to like sun anybody, but I'm just trying to share my experience. When I first started doing drag, I cared a lot more about kind of the reaction to things, and like, I cared a lot more about being canceled. And even up till 2020, I would say that was like some of the hardest experiences of being in the public eye. But now I'm at a standpoint where it's like, whether you love me or hate me, I'm still going to be myself, and I'm going to fearlessly put that out there, and hope that I'm casting a net to the pool or shining a light to the people that want to see or want to hear what I'm saying. And those are the people that I want to show up to my show. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does make a lot of sense. Kimber had made this comment way back in the day that I really like about being in the room or the different rooms that you can be in when it involves drag, or entertainment in general. Like, you know, just as an example, like Kimber being like a makeup artist on a movie set, that is a different room than being at a dive bar, right? Not saying that either room is negative. What I'm saying is like the opportunities that are afforded to you by the spaces that you're in and what you want to do does change. And also, because I had brought this up in, I think, last week's episode of the podcast, I like got canceled a couple weeks ago and I didn't put any energy into it because when I really did have personal things going on in my life. But also it's because there are things about the rooms I want to focus on that I think speak volumes to me. Like one of the goals I have is I want to bring a prelim to Portland, like some national prelim. Like a prelim for a national pageant, even if it's Comedy Queen or something like that. Because, you know, I have a lot of my Camp Wanakiki sisters who do that. And like Portland is a beautiful place to like, you know, put it on the map. And one thing that me and Kimber, I always feel like really jive on is like opportunity and the ideas for this community. Because like, yeah, we could focus. We could spend this whole podcast talking about like the negative BS of Portland and da-da-da-da-da. But also like there is also a breeding ground for some really beautiful opportunities. And I do actually think that demand drag actually is helping foster those opportunities because it's forcing us all to be in the same place and play nice with each other for a second to like talk. And even we come at each other in that group every once in a while. It just happens because, you know, we're people, we're human. But yeah, I really believe in, I do believe me and Kimber really most believe in community betterment more than anything and how we can like focus on the opportunities that we have afforded to us. So what I want to ask you next is, do you have, what is the end goal actually for demand drag? Because I don't know if I know that.
Before I answer that question, I want to say that conflict is not abuse. So I come from a place where I love feedback and I love to be able to kind of resolve, as you say, these things. So I love the fact that in drag on demand, we don't always agree. We're not over here trying to braid each other's coochie hairs, as some of the people say. But what we are doing is we're getting it out in a space that doesn't involve our pay and our work. So it's not also leading to more stress and a higher vibration of a reaction, if that makes sense. A lot of times when we're backstage or when we have to have these discussions, they are, you know, stressful times. So the way that most people are reacting is not necessarily how they would if they were able to discern in a place of just calm, if that makes sense. And some of these queens out here are just hypey all the time, and that's okay too. But I feel like there was no space to just have conversation, and that's what Drag on Demand provides.
Yeah, agreed. So go ahead and answer that question. What is your end goal for demand drag?
End goal. It's so funny. My fiance asked me this, like a year, 2021, we were a year into the pandemic and like, you know, bills were starting to hit. I had run out of money. And my fiance was like, what is the end game here? Like, what are we doing? Why don't you just go get a job? And, for me, it's there isn't a, like, there won't be a like, oh, I've, this is what it is. And like product that comes out. But the end goal is that Drag on Demand will continue to be a space for the community to come collaborate and create. And so we've got some really great things coming out before the end of the year. We've got some great events coming out. We're launching some new merch. We're collaborating with some really great entertainers from the local area, both in Portland and in Seattle. This was such an artistic way of saying this, but the end goal is to provide an experience for everyone that they remember, period.
Yes, I love that. I love that. You also, which we won't go into too many details since it's like I don't like necessarily talk about people's work, but you were heavily involved with Pride Northwest this year. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like this year opposed to the other years you've been a part of it?
My goodness, I could cry about it. It was incredible. It's very hard to work on something that, like, we spend 363 days planning. No, 362 days planning for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And it all goes by so quickly. And it was an incredible experience. My favorite moment of Pride was Sunday morning, the parade had just started and the dykes on bikes were coming by. The marching band was right behind them and the wind started blowing and there was just like this peace that happened. And me and the rest of the Pride Northwest team, we all just like locked eyes and we all just like ran and hugged each other because it felt like no matter what we went through to get there, both good and bad, we did it. And it was like a feeling of accomplishments and it was a feeling of like pride.
Yeah. I got to see a little bit more, like, so this would be, so I moved here in June of 2019 and I went to the festival before I knew anybody. Cause you know, I just moved here. I went to the festival in June of that year. I also went to the festival last year as well. Yeah, because I performed on the main stage last year. And then this year I got the beautiful honor of hosting a segment on the main stage, and that was really wonderful. And I have to say that like that is a lot different. That was a lot different. And it was a earth-shattering moment for me. And I don't know how other people feel about this, and I don't mean to gush and gosh about this, but like it was a really, I did cry on the main stage. I talk to people about that all the time. But even afterwards, I was reeling from it from like 5 seconds because it's such an honor, in my opinion, to be a part of Pride in a bigger city. Like in a smaller city, it's like every queer person is just like a part of Pride. You know, and there's room for everybody because there's not a lot of us, right? In a bigger city, there isn't room for everybody to participate in the ways that they want to participate. And so getting to participate in that major way was really beautiful. And then also I went around to the booths and I bought a bunch of stuff. And yes, my husband was like at the new North stage that they had, but it was also just the festival feel. Like I love the fact that they had the, what's it called? The walkway, because it's on, if you've never been to Portland, it's at the waterfront and traditionally they didn't have the little walkway thing for accessibility.
Oh, the accessibility.
And mud. Yeah. And so they had the accessibility walkway this year. So you could actually just get through. And I loved that because I walked on it most of the time too, with my high heels and, you know, getting through and like being able to do the things I wanted to do. And then the food was delicious, of course. And like all the queer vendors and the queer art and it was just, I still am reeling from this year's festival, and I got to see behind the scenes in a lot of ways, and that was also really cool to just know that everybody has such a passion for it. And so congratulations to Kimber K. Shade for all her parts in that, but also just it was a good festival this year.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll say this, since I'm speaking for myself and I can give my opinion on this podcast, it was a pleasure working with you, Coco, and a joy to see you be so gracious and so generous, not only throughout the year, but then to still have the steam after all of the Pride gigs that you did in June to get up there and give so much to the community and for it to mean so much to you. When I came to Pride Northwest, that was my one intention when I talked with the executive director. It's like, you know, this was right on the heels of having the conversation about gatekeeping. And so I definitely made it a purpose to be able to open the doors and of opportunity up to not only my communities, but to everyone. And so this year's Pride, and my opinion doesn't reflect on a specific thing or last year's Pride or the Prides before, but what it does reflect on is my experience. And from my experience, this year's Pride was so diverse in such a different way that I was just so, again, I'm going to use that word, I was so proud to have been a part of it and to have been a part of the team to make so much joy happen within the community.
Right. And you did a fantastic job. Let's talk about one of your other achievements this year before we talk about some heavier subjects. I did actually go to the Blow Pony, the House of Shade Blow Pony, which I thought was amazing. Kimber used to, and this is funny for the podcast because I know there's going to be some new listeners. Kimber used to always make this comment because I've known her for a couple of years about how she's like, I'll just do a backflip on these hills. I'll just do a backflip on these hills. I'll stunt on these hills. And I always just thought it was just, I thought it was just words, to be honest, like, because like some people just perform well, you know, and so they'll say, I'll stunt on these hoes, I'll do a backflip on these hoes or whatever. And like I was watching the video of Kimber performing and Kimber does backflips. Apparently that's a thing she does in drag. And it's like, I was just so surprised by that. And like, I was like, oh, so what she was being literal. Like, she wasn't just saying like a kiki word. Like, she's like, I do backflips in drag. And that's the thing she does. And then I was talking to Autumn Rains about it, who's been here for years. She's like, no, that's the thing that Kimber's known for. And I said, oh, I didn't live here. I was like, I didn't know this. Okay, cool. I'm stupid. But to bring it back to the House of Shade, did the Blow Pony set. And I swear it was so good. It was so fun. And the poster was great, beautiful with all that melanin. And I don't know. It was a good experience. So what was that like for you, having your whole house performing at one of the biggest stages that is offered for queer artistry?
Wow. Thank you so much, Coco, for even bringing this up. Okay. So first of all, shout out to Eric and his partner. In my drag experience, I felt like getting asked to do Blow Pony would be a sign that I had kind of made it in my drag career here in Portland, Oregon. And so last year when they asked me at the end of September, early October, I just like was floored. It's just super floored. It's an incredible feeling to have your art noticed by one of the biggest stages in Portland. And so shout out to Eric and his partner for, you know, booking me. And immediately when they booked me, my first thought was, if I'm going to be on this platform, and if you can tell here, there's a pattern. If I'm going to be on this platform, I also want to open the doors to, you know, my daughters, and I want the city to see my entire family. I want them to see what the Shades are about and who we are. And so we were able to work out this amazing performance. Also shout out to my friend Carlos, who choreographed my portion of the number. And shout out to all my drag daughters and drag granddaughter who came together to show solidarity. You know, it was one of the first times that an all black house, I think the first time an all black house was at Blow Pony. We're one of the only all black houses in Portland. It's major, you know? And so that experience was just kind of like the cherry on top of like all of the hard work.
Which of your kids were there? Which of your kids were there so you can give them shout outs?
Okay, so we had Flawless Shade, of course. We had Hot Pink Shade, of course. And then we also had Kwanzaa Shade. And Stephanie was on the poster. It was really cute. That was one of the things that I negotiated with Eric. He was so kind. I was like, I really want to put Stephanie on the poster as like a tribute. Because if she was here, she'd be doing it with us.
Oh, sorry. That got me in my feels. That's really cool. Sorry. That's really cool. Shout out to Stephanie DuPont-Shade.
Fuck yeah. Shout out to her. But this art really, it changed my life. And so it's, when I get to have experiences like that, it's so magical to just be able to include my family and also give a tribute to somebody who meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
You know, in drag.
Yeah. And I think that you're a good drag mom. So to get to some of the heavier subjects, I do. I think you're a good drag mom. And to get to the heavier subjects is, so I noticed that you mentor a lot of people in this community accidentally or maybe intentionally, myself included. Why do you feel like you get put on with that role? Why do you think, not put on, like a good word would be like, why do you always seem to wear that hat? Like, cause I know it gets forced on you. I know you're not giving it away naturally. Like why do you think that you mentor so many people?
Well, I have boundaries, but I enjoy when everyone succeeds. I think that that's one of the best feelings is when I'm looking around and everyone is having a great time and enjoying themselves just as much as I am. So that just comes natural for me to just want to help. And, you know, in the field of work that I do, I happen to have a lot of resources and know a lot of people. So I like connecting people with that. And so I think that comes easy. But I do have boundaries. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I mentor everyone. I have to work-life balance it. And I think I'm very kind with people too, and let them know that like, this is my capacity and what I can give you. And you know, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
I saw this, which you probably have seen this. And cause like you're a person who's a worker bee as well. It was a viral post that went around over the last like, couple weeks that said, somebody said, do you have the ability to do that? And they said, I'll have to politely decline because my plate is as full as I would like it to be. And I was like, whoo, I was like, that is a phrase that changed my world as well. because I end up taking a lot more than what my plate can handle. And there is a place that I like, there is like, cause my plate does stack, but there is a place to where I do feel like I get to where I've stacked my plate going back to the buffet and I'm like, okay, my plate is as full as I would like it to be. But then I'll be like, oh yeah, I'll have like another chicken wing or whatever. And it falls off the plate and it's not the kind of artistry I want to give, especially when somebody pays for that extra chicken wing. And they're just like, Coco, this is what you gave me? No, ma'am. No, ma'am. So how do you manage your schedule? Like, cause you're doing a lot too. Like from when you get booked for your sideline gigs, cause you're a makeup artist as well. I think you're still in school. You do demand drag. You work with the Beauty Boys. You do productions across two states. So how do you manage your schedule?
Very carefully. I'm taking a pause on school right now. I'm going to be going back in the winter since I'm transferring to the university. A lot of what I do all revolves around the same kind of like thing in the community. So it's about balancing and structuring my days to, you know, fit the purpose. As you know, with event planning, it's not like you're doing something every day with event planning. A lot of that comes down to the last 2 weeks, depending on what, you know, your position is in the team. What fills up the most of my time though is these drag shows that are everywhere in the city and I'm trying to support everybody. That is what wears me out. Yeah. And I love it, don't get me wrong. Have like one drag bar that has like all of the shows?
I think Badlands is opening soon.
Okay, girl.
Yeah,
that's the rumor. I had heard
about
that.
That's the rumor. I need to mention this. Me and Kimber are also Sweetheart sisters. She is Sweetheart 27. I am Sweetheart 33 of Portland. She's the current president of the board right now, too, which is cool. I forgot to give that small shout out because that's also another thing that Kimber has on her plate. And I do agree, though, that like I would like to support more shows, but I do take Monday and Tuesday off. Like I do take Monday and Tuesday off of going out and to doing drag things because I do need to like. I took a drag break May before Pride. I took a drag break and it was so needed to let me know. I was like, ooh, I need to take a step back. I fell back in love with drag when I started in June for Pride gigs, but like it was rough. It was rough bananas. And I was like, I realized how much I needed the break. So I am now officially considering myself a full-time drag queen and a full-time career professional as well, because I work so much in both fields. And what that means is if I'm a full-time drag queen, that means I need to have off days. And so I need to protect those off days. Be like, hey girl, can you do this thing on a Tuesday? No, I can't do this thing on a Tuesday. My plate is as full as I would like it to be.
That for a second? Do you think it matters now in 2023, whether you're a hobby queen or a full-time queen?
Ooh, don't get me canceled, because I do think I have an opinion. Actually, I'll say it. I do think it matters. I think it matters, but not in a sense that like it means anything. I think that like if I'm a show producer, and this might get me canceled, we'll see. If I'm a show producer and I'm needing to fill a spot with somebody who's talented that I have a decent budget for, let's say it's $100, and I might consider booking the full-time queen over the hobby queen, even if the hobby queen might be like a couple of clicks better, because I know that this person, that's their full-time job. I should provide as much opportunity to full-time queens as I can. For hobby queens, like that's why, fundraiser shows are really important as well. And I do think that hobby queens deserve to get paid, but as a producer, I might intentionally look at the full-time artists first to give them an opportunity, or the people who like just do DoorDash or Uber on the side. Not saying that's not good money. I'm just saying that like people who not are hungry for gigs, but people who could desperately and would like to have that money.
So, and this is my opinion. I'm not saying that this is the right opinion, but I just think that from what I've seen, I think that it doesn't matter, right? Like at the end of the day, if I think in 2023, we're booking people who are great drag artists. Mm-hmm. I just went to a show. I went to Juno Birch. Flawless Shade took me. Shout out to Flawless because she performed in the opening act. But I just went to a show, Juno Birch, and Juno's only been doing drag for 6 years.
Oh, wow.
And she, like, rocks. You know what I mean? So I just don't think that when it comes to the art of drag, I think that anybody can enroll in the university, and it just depends on the person, on how fast they accelerate, right? So, like, I don't think mm-hmm. that it matters whether you're a quote-unquote hobby queen or a full-time queen, but I just also think that there are a lot of full-time queens who are worn out.
Yeah. I do think that there's a lot of full-time
there
people worn
every
out.
Day.
Yes, I yeah. know that when I took my break and came back, I had more creativity. Me. Oh, yeah, entertainer. I realized when I came back, I had a lot more.
That's why I'm going to get canceled. Oh, why you brought me up here is to cancel me.
Yeah, sure did. But I did realize that even for myself, I had more energy coming back after my drag break with wanting to do costumes and stuff like that, because I had a little bit of a break to breathe and understand what I loved about drag. And like, I have talked to some people who are like kind of A-class drag artists in our community about, you know, where they get their nails, their costumes, their hair, and like how they keep going and whatever. And it's because like some hobby artists in our communities are really talented. So they don't really have to work that much. Like, cause they'll get that $120 booking fee for base. Like, they'll have to, yeah, I do think, but like, there are full-time artists in this community who just want the excess of income so they can buy more extravagant costumes. And it's all about, like, so I guess if bare bones, it's about the hustle. Like, what is your hustle? You know, like, if my hustle is I want to make some coin and buy some cute costumes, then I'm going to hustle as many gigs as I can. If my hustle is like, girl, I'm just trying to save up a little money on the side, then I might perform 4 times a month, you know, like whatever, you know, it depends on your hustle.
But since I'm the drag mother, I've claimed it, of Portland. I do want to give this advice. And especially since we're so focused on mental health in 2023, it's not just a buzzword. We actually do care. If I'm giving advice to anybody who is starting drag or who's just started drag or any of that kind of stuff, what I'm saying is that I would recommend keep a job, do something else other than drag so that you can provide for yourself away from what makes you happy. Because when you start mixing the two, your art becomes something completely different. And I just think, you know, to keep it something that you love and always love, go out there and get be a hobby queen. Hobby queens for 2023.
Hobby queens for 2023. And that's true. I mean, there is a lot of validity to that argument as well. So do you think that, do you consider yourself to be a hobby artist or more of a career drag artist?
You know, at first when the word professional was used, it was used by people to shut us out.
Right.
So like, you know, when I hear that, I'm like, oh, you're just a hobby girl. You don't take this seriously. It takes me to that trauma place. But now in 2023, I'm like, well, I have a job that pays for my car, my house, my home. It puts food on the table for me and my fiance. And then drag becomes something fun. You know, right. I'm able to go buy the new trending stuff. I keep experiencing new, innovating. I'm able to buy new brands. So, you know, because they're two separate things.
Right.
And I actually just had this conversation with someone. I think that, you know, when I started drag was a place where we went to shield ourselves from the struggle. You know, it was a way to kind of elevate ourselves. And now you don't have to do that. Like, there are people who are just clicking on their phones and walking into drag and get the same amount of treatment, you know? So it's like, I don't feel like going full time earns you the same amount of respect. I think it does actually come from the amount of effort you invest into it. And so in order to invest that effort, you gotta have some type of way to fund it.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I think that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Because like I said, I consider myself full time, but I do have a full time job. But it's also because I want to be. I like my hustle. I like my money. I like my bag. Like, I bought myself a Coach purse off of birthday and drag money. And actually, it was all birthday drag money that I got from performing over my birthday weekend. And, like, and I got to do that because I wanted to. And I wanted to have that bag. And it was, like, and I loved that moment. And it made me feel really affirmed in my drag. And I loved it. Do you think that, so let's go to this debate real quickly here. Do you think somebody who is inexperienced deserves the same booking fee as somebody who is experienced for the same show spot, same two numbers?
When I think about booking fees and when I negotiate, this is a great question. Thank you so much for asking. When I think about that, I think about, honestly, a lot of things. I'm thinking about longevity. I'm thinking about what the artistry that they're bringing, you know, are they bringing a production number, these sorts of things. But then I'm also thinking about how many seats are they going to fill? And to be honest, somebody who's new in drag is more exciting to the audience in a lot of different ways. If you think about, you know, the entertainers, first time in drag, that's big for them. And so they're attracting a big audience because all their family, friends, and everybody's coming to see that. So it's different when we're talking about artistry versus business.
Right. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, because there is a lot of gigs. Like, so for Kwanzaa that I do every year, I try to pay the artist, but a lot of people I do ask to like, cause I don't know what the booking fee is going to look like. So a lot of people just do it to showcase like blackness, for that event. Like, it's not about making the coin. It's not like a business decision. It's like community at that point. And it's not necessarily even a charity gig. Sometimes it's just, we're getting together to party for Kwanzaa and stuff like that. And, so I hear you on that, actually, as you were saying it, that makes a lot of sense. Cause I do a lot of those as well. You know, give back and like, I have a good time with it anyway. I don't believe in the kinky boots phrase of like, oh, my girls will do it for, a couple of drinks and some laughs. I was like, I need a little more than a couple of drinks and some laughs. Like,
so, but,
yeah.
So the other way that I also answer this is I say, I think that everybody should start out with the same base pay. So in the past in Drag on Demand, I've asked several times, like, what's the base pay? What do you think it should be? And, you know, we've kind of narrowed it down to a range. And I think everybody should start there, and then you get a bonus. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, if you are dope on social media and I can add you to my promo and marketing, that's another check that I'm going to give you. And that's why your booking fee gets raised. It's not because you're just this person. It's because of what you bring to the table.
Right.
And, you know, I always say to people, you negotiate what you feel, but also always know when to take the opportunity. Because sometimes the opportunity will be the thing that pays double, triple, quadruple.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, we didn't talk or negotiate about a payout for when I accepted, you know, hosting on Pride Main Stage. I hadn't talked to Pride Northwest about that when I accepted but I will say this, regardless of how much I made or didn't make, that led to opportunities, like a lot of opportunities. My Instagram follower count went up by a lot. I got a couple of more private bookings as well. And now people are like, that's exposure. And I'm like, yes, but it's also something for the community. Like, it fed two purposes. Sure, exposure, but it fed my soul, it fed their souls, and I'm giving back to my queerness and to my community, just like what I was talking about with Kwanzaa. And the thing is, I do think the base pay has raised, but I really wish that bars would catch up. I just, before we filmed this, I actually had to renegotiate a contract with a bar. The last show we had was packed. It was packed to the brim, but the patrons were not buying enough food and drink to cover the booking fee. So we are going to be moving to a cover system and a percentage of bar sales instead of just a flat booking fee. You know, cause that will help the bar out a lot, you know, so it'll encourage us to get them to buy drinks, but then also I can make a lot of money from the door cover. Right. And so that will, but I think it's like those negotiations matter. And yes, this is when we talk about business versus just the artistry and whatever, but also like I have to be able to still be able to pay my girls their base. Right. And that's what matters.
And there has to be somebody out there advocating for that, right? Like, I am a drag queen. I love drag down through and through. And as an audience member, I could care less what everybody's getting paid. But there has to be somebody that does step in and advocates. And like you said, it is these venue owners and managers and everyone, they're doing their job. They're just doing their jobs. So I understand why it is hard. However, I would really love, this is the moment where I'm like, gosh, I wish that some more of the quote unquote leaders of our community could come together and we could build some more spaces. There's 70% of downtown Portland is empty. Why aren't the gays buying that up right now?
It really is empty. I mean, when you walk downtown, money,
but I'm sure
it's empty.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, just saying it's empty downtown when you go to town.
Yeah, and so it would be nice if we could, and I know that all of us don't have the money, but I'm sure if we could all pull together a couple dollars, you know, we might be able to pay the rent at least one month and keep it afloat. You know what I'm saying? These are those times when we need to be thinking of ways to build space. And I think that that would also help put some leverage on what, you know, the iconic spaces,
yeah,
you know, are doing.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. I think Demand Drag should open a club called Demand Club. Or Club Demand or Club Drag, whatever.
Ooh. I don't want to open up a club. I want to open up like a chicken joint.
Oh damn. She said a chicken joint.
I want like, no, just think about this. Like drag queens shaking their asses at the show, and then you also get to eat chicken wings. Coco, every show I go to and I'm eating, I'm always eating chicken wings. I love it.
I eat a lot at the shows that we're at. I mean, I eat food constantly. I'm always eating because I eat off of people's plates. That's my thing. That's my shtick. That's how I perform. It's my jam. So actually, let's talk. So the last subject I have before we get to our last question is let's talk about controversy on a high level. So when it's two questions. What advice would you give to new entertainers dealing with controversy? But also, what do you think that the pillars of our community can do to lead the community forward in a better way?
Wow, these are heavy hitters. You saved these for Kimber K, honey. So first of all, to new entertainers, what I would say is have a circle of people. And I feel like you asked me this question last time and I said that I'm going to get the same answer. Have a circle of people around you that is very strong, that is very grounded, that may not be a part of this drag community, mm-hmm. that can help you gauge what is north. Mm-hmm. And I say that because sometimes these things like, you know, I've had arguments with people over, you know, being 5 minutes late to another, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are so minuscule things that become so amplified in the drag community that if you have somebody that is on the outside of that can ground you and keep you kind of sane, if you will, that's my suggestion on how to deal with some of the kind of controversies that might come up, because we're all imperfect, right? Like, and at the end of the day, a lot of these controversies surround social change. And in the last 5 years, a lot of things have changed. And that's because new people have voices and we're saying what's right and wrong. And all of that is great, but it might be uncomfortable to come up against that, especially when somebody is calling us out. And especially if it's something that is like systematic that we can't see. So having a good support system and having these people that keep you grounded, it just helps you to navigate and stay true to yourself as you, you know, move forward, because you have to move forward.
Right. Agreed. Agreed. So then, the second question about what do you think community leaders can do to help lead us forward, or what do you think they need to change, if you think they need to change?
Girl, this is one that I'm going to get canceled on. They got to do something. I just feel like I'm watching a lot of community leaders with their heads in the sand. You know, they're beautiful ostriches with their heads in the sand as if disasters and train wrecks aren't heading for our community. With the bans that are happening with drag and trans people around the country, we have had an influx within our city of more drag and trans people, which we love because we are a sanctuary, but there is no infrastructure to take care of these people that are coming into our city when we barely have enough jobs for ourselves.
Right.
So our leaders need to start creating jobs. They need to start creating opportunity. You got me on my soapbox. Creating jobs, creating opportunities, giving back, turning around. You know, it's great to celebrate all of these iconic and longest running shows that have happened, but can those shows also create more opportunity outside of, you know, just drag?
Right.
What are they doing for the trans community? you know, and I'm not saying that to put anybody on the spot. I'm saying that to tell everyone to do better.
Right. Oh, yeah. Everyone. I think that, so my two cents with that too is, I go back to a point that Ms. Shade used to make a couple of years ago, and it's still true in some circles today, but the gatekeeping has gotten to a point of where I feel really uninspired in Portland. And I think community leaders are a really big problem with that. For instance, like I would love to just be able to go out and perform. I want to bring a pageant system here. Like I said earlier, it's because I feel like I don't have access to the ones that are in town. Like I want to be judged on my, you know, my clothes, my hair, my talent, my perform, you know, all that stuff. I want to be truly judged in a pageant system. And I don't mean a bar title. And that's great. I think bar titles are super fun. Get people into the business for pageantry. But like if people talked about Portland drag, they never talk about the like, oh girl, that pageantry system there is just like, no, like they don't talk about that. So I want to be able to compete. And like, I feel like there's a lot of people have said that about me. They're like, Coco, you gatekeep some of the larger events that you do. And I'm like, no. I was like, when I do the larger events, I was like, everybody is invited to play and participate. You just have to say yes. And because it's not about us when I do bigger events like Juneteenth or Kwanzaa, like you just have to learn to swallow your ego a little bit and just play. And I will say, and this isn't giving any shade to anybody, so I need to say this really quickly here. Me and Kimber are the ones who hosted Juneteenth together. And I had 19 Black entertainers in that show. And they all said yes without even having a confirmation of how much we were going to make. That is community. And I said, I even posted in Demand Drag, like, hey, I don't know all of you. Like, if you hit me up, you can be in the show. Nobody was left out. Like if people say, well, I didn't have access to you, Coco, then get access to me. My stuff's public. Like get to me. Like I post in my places that everybody else can see. So you can all play along and have a good time. Because the reality situation is when it came to that show, everybody was going to get to participate. I know that most drag artists in the city participate in Pride as well. And the thing is, there were conversations and dialogues and conflict resolution that happened from Juneteenth that was super great and beautiful. And all I have to say is this too. Like, I am so sick and tired of feeling like I can't go through the front door of a place, right? As queer people, we already feel super isolated. As Black people, we already feel isolated. As people under the transastric community, we already feel super isolated. So queer spaces kind of give us this hub, and queer events kind of give us this hub to be able to be ourselves. And like, even though I don't always feel comfortable being Black in a queer space, I definitely don't want to feel uncomfortable being queer in a queer space. That feels weird to me and feel like I don't have access to that. So I think that if I was going to say anything about community leaders, I think we should start working on making the community feel more safe in the sense of emotionally safe in more places. So everybody can play. So everybody has a churn in the sandbox. So everybody can get their cocktail or, you know, just hang out in a sober manner and still feel accepted and safe.
I cheers to that.
Yeah, that's my tea. So we're at the point of the podcast. This has been a great dialogue so far that I have to ask my question, and I don't actually know who you put down before. So it's going to be all fresh and new. I ask every single one of my guests, if you were to get in a bar fight in Portland, which three Portland drag artists would you have on your side to help you win and why?
First one is Charisma, because I feel like she could fight. Like, and then also, like, if she can't fight, she's got enough personality to talk us out of it. Mm-hmm. Also, I want to preface this with, I'm not violent. So, like, whoever I say, like, don't think that they're violent either or that we want to fight, because that's not what this is. But I will say, yeah, Charisma. I'm going Flawless Shade because I know that she could knock a hoe out. As a matter of fact, I don't need much more than Charisma and Flawless, but if I had to pick another person, I gotta pick somebody small just so it don't seem like we jumped that hoe. My friend Anthony. 100%.
Yeah, Anthony. Oh my god. Yeah, Anthony. Anthony scares me. Anthony looks like Anthony could throw some fucking hands. Like,
I never told you about that.
No, tell me now,
girl. Okay, I guess since we're here, let's put it into record for all eternity. So when I first started doing drag, girl, mm-hmm. I didn't know how to do makeup. I had bad wigs and outfits, but I had a lot of confidence, right? Mm-hmm. So this confidence walked me into some situations where, you know, people were just like, they couldn't stand that I was so like full of myself and so mm-hmm. into it. But that's what drag is.
Right.
So of course we're all in the parking lot and it's outside of the Club Escape and it's like this side parking lot. And it's like a total scene from West Side Story. Like sure. It's me and my friends and we're all in drag versus the other drag queens. And we had a full out rumble and it all started because some fan walked up and they were like, can we get a photo? And I was like, yeah, let's take a photo. And at this time I was 21 and all of these kids, they were children. Mm-hmm. This one person walks up to me and they're like, oh, let's get a photo. So I took the photo, click, click. And then I was like, oh, I don't even need to look at it. I know I look great. And mm-hmm. went to walk off. And apparently that upset her. Mm-hmm. And she had a lot to say to me. So then, you know, I can't remember who swung first, but I remember that I ended up swinging my purse. I remember I swung my purse in the whole parking lot, just like it was a whole brawl. Oh my gosh. There's like a whole part two to this story. I'll give you this little bit right now, but you got to invite me back for the second part because the second part gets good. Yeah, but Anthony ended up being there and he had to take his heels off. It was like one of the only times that I put him in drag. And this is like also why I don't put him into drag too, because we get into trouble. We look that yeah. like good that people just get upset. And I cannot, I don't want to fight anymore. I'm too old. I'm 35, y'all. Like I can't.
Yeah, I can't be throwing hands.
My bones are brittle. I can't do it.
I tell Kimber this all the time. Like after I stepped down as Miss Sweetheart, I told Kimber, I said, these little kids need to stop messing with me because Girl, she getting way too old to have people getting lippy. I literally had this thing of just, who was it I was talking to? I was talking to a friend of mine like yesterday. And I said, you know, the world changed. Like I used to talk about like older people in the drag scene, like older people said, that didn't happen in our day. Because what happened is if a girl got lippy in the dressing room, we just smacked her in the face. Like, or we brought her outside and whooped her ass. And then she didn't act that way no more. And she's like, now, and somebody was like, nowadays, y'all are just like, y'all put all your business on the internet and like come at each other that way. And I remember even seeing a meme today that says, y'all get real quiet in person, but you got a lot to say on the internet. Like,
I saw that meme. Yep.
Like, it's like, y'all got real quiet in person. Like, okay, yeah. And like, so, and the thing is, I don't necessarily want us to go back into that culture of like, you afraid of getting smacked. But like, some of these kids needs to be afraid of getting smacked. Like, ooh, good Lord. These children.
Yeah, so, I don't approve of violence.
I don't condone violence. But, I'm a pacifist.
But I also am known for taking it to another level if need be.
Yeah, that's tea. That's super tea. So, Kimber, tell the kids where they can find you on the socials.
You can find me, first of all, I want you to go into your favorite browser and type in www.demandrag.com. That is my website that features drag. It's going to have a bunch of local artists, lots of great events and things for you to kind of dive into drag and not only get to know me, but get to know my community. Mm-hmm. And then you can also look me up Instagram. I'm Kimber K Shade 503. Because Kimber K. Shade was taken. Can you believe that?
That's
no, I'm Kimber
weird.
Shade 503. Excuse me. Yeah, it is weird, especially since I've had it for like 13 years. So like, mm-hmm. I can't wait to meet the other one who's out there. Hopefully she listens to this podcast and I get to meet her one day. Yeah. Coco uniting Kimber Shades across the world.
Yes.
And then also, yeah. You can also find me under Made Up by Henry. That's kind of my account where I do all of my makeup artistry and you can see some of the things that I work on as far as like film and commercials.
So we are going to have, I will link all of Kimber's socials on the website. I'll also be posting a picture of Kimber K. Shade at agemofasecretpodcast.com. I'll also have a link to Demand Drag, the Facebook page and the website, so you all can look at that as well. The thing is, not everybody is allowed into Demand Drag on Facebook. It is mostly for people who are drag artists. So if you're like there are people in our scene who are part of it, who like are active people like Tip Kittens and da 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 da. But if you are truly a patron, like just enjoy our drag. Just enjoy our drag. Mm-hmm. Share our posters, come to our events, pay for our pre-sale. That's really important these days. Please pay for our pre-sale. It helps bars and venues know that we're worth something. So yeah, if you're a fan of drag and not just a Drag Race fan, or if you're a local drag fan, come out to our stuff. Follow us online. Like, give us those likes and follow counts. Make us feel appreciated. Leave a comment underneath this video this podcast, if you enjoyed it. And that's where we're at. So say goodbye to the kids, Kimber.
Okay, I want to leave you with this. Drag and trans people are still being attacked all around the world, and specifically in our country, and right outside in our backyard in different places in Oregon. So if you have a chance, you know, it's so simple to like, share, and comment, but also to take a second to send a message to one of your favorite drag artists and let them know that you appreciate them. It does wonders for our mental health and, you know, lifts us up and could be the thing that changes us from not wanting to do the show that day to actually being there and giving you what you want to see. I hope everyone has a great time, and thank you, Coco, for having me.
Thanks, Kimber. Bye, everybody.
Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.